You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. 0% financing for 84 months right now on the 2017 Chevrolet Silverado, plus up to 10 grand in price reductions. This may be the best deal on Silverados ever. Check it out, Lakewood Chev.
We are going to go around the NHL, brought to you by Cougar Paint and Collision. There, and you need them, call or stop in, no appointment required. They will see you right away. You can trust Cougar Paint and Collision. Their family serving your family, 88th Street and Yellowhead Trail. Joined now on the line by our good buddy Mike Morial from NHL.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Morial NHL. Mike, thanks for taking a few minutes today in the middle of it. It's been a very busy summer for you. You've been covering this Will Butcher situation for a long time, the Denver University Hobey Baker Award winner. According to sources, he's likely to pick a team before Sunday. What have you made covering the situation as long as you have? We saw Brandon Dubinsky's kind of questioning NCAA free agents. I guess we'll just start at the beginning. Can Will Butcher make an impact on an NHL team right away?
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me on, Mark, first off. Appreciate any time coming on with you. It's been kind of interesting with the college free agent signing period here for those that have gone through without signing their NHL contracts and then going through their senior years and being eligible as a UFA on August 16th of after their senior year. And Will Butcher being the creme de la creme, so to speak, of that crew, the defenseman from the University of Denver. And right now it looks as though, Mark, from what I last heard, there were four teams. He's narrowed the list from 10 to 4 this week. We do know that the Buffalo Sabres and the Vegas Golden Knights are two of those teams. I've heard winds that the Devils could be a third team, and that the LA Kings might be a fourth team in the mix here for Will Butcher's services, the left-handed defenseman. Will he make an impact whenever he does sign, wherever he does sign? I think he's going to have to, you know, earn his way just like anyone else. But the fact that he's a veteran, Mark, he obviously was a captain for the University of Denver last year. Everyone knows he won the Hobey Baker Award. The thing that I like about Will Butcher is his hockey sense. It's really off the charts, Mark. He's got an elite-level brain, and along with that comes a really good some really good poise with the puck. Every time he touches it, it's going to be a positive outcome because he makes great decisions. And that's one of the things that really stood out to me. And another thing special about him is his transitional passing. He's done a great job. I actually spoke a few weeks ago to Jim Montgomery, his coach at the University of Denver. And I asked Jim, if he were to maybe compare Will with an NHL defenseman, either in the league now or maybe recently left the NHL, retired, or has moved on. He told me that, he sees a lot of Andre Markov, the former Montreal Canadiens defenseman, and Will Butcher, and that he's exceptional on the power play, has a great shot. Butcher's capable of playing both points, Mark, so he's very versatile in that sense. Is a great skater, as I said, has a great shot. So he'll have to work his way into the lineup, but I could definitely see maybe 2-3 years down the road him becoming a top four fixture for any team that's fortunate enough to sign him.
Brandon Dubinsky is a forward for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and he tweeted about 3 hours ago, the college free agency situation in the NHL needs to be sorted out. It's a joke, especially to those guys who played at major junior. I bet teams that make the draft pick would agree with me as well. Then about an hour ago, he said, let me clarify. I want players to have all the options they can when they sign a contract. Major junior players can't, and that's not fair. That's it. So you think it's time the NHL reevaluates this? Because this maybe be something that gets brought up in the next CBA?
Yeah, well, you know, obviously all the players and the teams and the GMs knew about the situation when the last CBA was taken care of. And that was that, in layman's terms, the college player has 4 years to sign with that team that drafts him before he can become a UFA on August 16th of that last year. Will it be a point of discussion? Perhaps. Maybe it'll be discussed. Maybe it's not at the top of the list, at the priority with the league right now. But I would imagine if it becomes more of an issue, such as Brandon, obviously he's following the situation with these college free agents that go through 4 years of college. We all know what happened with Jimmy Vesey, another Harvard grad that ultimately signed with the New York Rangers. you know, we know what happened to Kevin Hayes a few years back. Same situation there out of Boston University, went 4 years and then signed with the Rangers as well. So this has been going on for some time now, Mark. It's nothing new. I think it's kind of highlighted and really there's a spotlight on top of it when the player that's in question here is a Hobie Baker Award winner. And I think that was the case with some of the other players in the past that have gone through this situation. You know, it's up to that player to determine what's best for them. They're going to make their options. If they want to play 4 years of college, obviously the team drafting him has to take that into account. They also have to take into account that maybe after 3 years, we got to get this guy to sign on the dotted line. So I think in addition to maybe there being, you know, some type of pressure on the player to make a decision on what he wants to do with his future, I think it's also imperative that the general manager and the managerial team for that team drafting that player make sure that they have their, you know, everything, you know, their ducks aligned in order and what they want to do and where this player might fit in into their system, into their organization 4 or 5 years down the road.
Mike Morial from NHL.com joins us. Mike, you're based out of New Jersey. The New Jersey Devils today signed Drew Stafford to a one-year deal worth about $800,000. The season has already been impacted by injuries for the New Jersey Devils, but what have you made of their offseason? Clearly, still a lot of work needs to be done, but are they starting to turn a corner, or is there still a lot more work to be done?
No, you know what, Mark, I kind of like what the Devils have done this year. They're not a playoff team. I mean, let's face it, they are not. If they do make the playoffs, it would be a shock for everybody. Where are they going to fit in the Eastern Conference? I don't know, but I don't see them making a top eight this year. But I do like all these new arrivals. I do. Obviously, at the top is Nico Hischier, the number one pick. The Devils were lucky enough to move up in the draft lottery to pick Hischier, a dynamic player there. I love the move to get Marcus Johansson. Obviously, Ray Shiro taking advantage of a cap-strapped Washington Capitals team, and Marcus Johansson was available, had career highs across the board. Is he going to be an impact, a dramatically improved impact player for the Devils? Probably not, but he certainly is a serviceable player and will fit in very well among their top six. The one thing that I do like, and it's probably the underrated move, is the Brian Boyle move, Mark. You know, the Devils need to get a little bigger. They need to get some size. They need to get a little stronger. They were pushed around quite often last year. Kind of a smallish team. They got some speedy, skilled wings, and, you know, their center. They were pretty deep, not as deep as some of the other teams around the league, but they did have some centermen coming up that are also fast and aggressive, but they need some size, and Brian Boyle is a player that's going to bring that to the team. Mirko Mueller, why not give it a shot? They acquired him in a fifth-round pick out for two picks that weren't even theirs from San Jose, so I think that's a move that could benefit the Devils down the road. And obviously, just recently, we heard, I think it was on Wednesday, in fact, that the Devils invited forward Jimmy Hayes to a training camp on a professional tryout. So a 6'5 right wing. I know he struggled last year. A lot of people are saying that he's kind of lost a step. He doesn't have the foot speed that he once had. But again, the Devils only had one serviceable, really clear-cut right wing in Kyle Palmieri. And now they're starting to, you know, obviously add some personnel on that right side. Marcus Johansson is capable of playing any could play left, could play center, could play right. So there, he's versatile. I like what the Devils have done this year. It'll be interesting to see how improved they become. They got some problems defensively. You know, they basically have the same team coming back from last year, with the exception of Mirko Mueller. They lost John Merrill in the expansion draft to the Vegas Golden Knights. So defensively, they might struggle a bit this year, and that'll be up to Corey Schneider to kind of carry the load as he's normally done these 3 years. Last year, he struggled a bit, but I don't fault Corey Schneider for that. I think that was an entire team effort by the Devils there.
Joined by Mike Morial from NHL.com, going around the NHL, sticking with the New Jersey Devils. John Hines is going to enter his third year as head coach. Missed the playoffs the last two. You mentioned like you like their offseason, but what happens if this team stumbles out of the gate and say around U.S. Thanksgiving, there may be 10 games under 500? Is there pressure on Hines, or does management realize that there's still a work in progress?
Yeah, I think that Ray Shiro, when he hired John Hines, Mark, there was you know, they knew that this was going to be a 3-4-5 year process because the Devils were in dire straits at that time. Let's face it. I mean, things started to go downhill a little bit when Zach Parise left for the Minnesota Wild. It's the same year Ilya Kovalchuk left for the KHL. So they lost two dynamic players there. And ever since that time, the Devils have really tried to, you know, they were kind of hamstrung at that point, and they were really trying to get back into the mix of things. So Sure inherited a team that didn't have a lot of solid prospects in their bank, in their pipeline. The team in general wasn't, you know, top caliber, so he had to really rebuild, and that's what he said. That's what he, when he took over as GM for Lou Lamoriello, that's what he said he was going to have to do, start from scratch. Now, they're in, as you said, they're in year three here of this rebuild, and it was actually a question I asked John Hines during their development camp, you know, what if the team, you know, doesn't make the playoffs again? I mean, obviously fans get a little antsy here. This would be, you know, the sixth straight year if they didn't make the playoffs. You know, what is, you know, and John basically said to me, he's like, look, he goes, you know, we really have to be patient here. I mean, this is a team that is building a little bit. I mean, you got Mikey McLeod, you know, in the pipeline now for the Devils. Blake Spears could be coming up and having an impact. You know, there are several other players in the bank here for the Devils that, John Quenville, in fact, too, is another player that I think is going to have an impact out of training camp with the Devils this year. And we expect Nico Hischier to have an impact. So little by little, I think Shearer has been adding some pieces. And John Hines is a very smart coach. I mean, he did some great things with Pittsburgh and their American Hockey League affiliate there on Wilkes-Barre. So I expect Hines, even if they don't make the playoffs, which I think everyone expects will happen, that they don't make the playoffs, I think Hines is secure right now. We'll see what Hischier can bring and the rest of these young players. So maybe the Devils will improve, and we expect them to improve.
Mike, just a couple more quick ones for you. You're a writer for NHL.com, and the site is currently in the middle of 31-31, taking a look at all 31 teams in the NHL. I'm still getting used to saying there's 31 teams in the NHL. Today was the San Jose Sharks, the team that the Oilers defeated in the postseason. Do they have enough youth to maybe take another step forward, or are the Sharks' best days behind them with their best players north of 30?
Yeah, you know, it was sad to see, obviously, the loss of Patrick Marleau there. Their leading score, all-time leading scorer. But, you know, now's the time for San Jose and these young players to kind of step up. I mean, we saw that last year. They can't expect the bearded wonder on defense, Brent Burns, to keep it going the way he has. Joe Thornton played pretty well last year despite the injury he had to overcome. You know, and obviously they have a gem in goal in Martin Jones, who I think is probably an elite goalie right now, probably top five, top 10 in the league. I think very highly of him. I think San Jose is solid on defense, Mark. I love, as I said, Burns, Marc-Edouard Vlasic has been outstanding. Paul Morton, Justin Braun. I think either Brendan Dillon or Dylan DeMeyer will be in those, maybe take that third pair defense possibly. But you're right. They do need these young players to step up. I mean, Peter DeBoer didn't hide his disappointment after the season that forwards Jonas Donskoi and Chris Tierney hadn't progressed. Michael Bodker failed to kind of meet expectations in his first season with San Jose. You know, Timo Meier, he was the ninth overall pick in 2015. He's got the ability to do it, but he needs to step up this year for this team. He managed only 6 points in 34 games as a rookie. So, Kevin LeBanc, Daniel Regan, Marcus Sorensen, all these players need to step up. So it's just not Pavelski and Thornton and Logan Couture, you know, carrying the load for this team. It'll be interesting to see where Thomas Hertl, another good, fine young player who kind of struggled last year, where he's going to fit in. Will they put him on wing with Joe Thornton and Pavelski? Or will Hertl, you know, center his own line this year, possibly third line center? It's going to be interesting. But you're right, Mark. These young players need to step up for San Jose now for them to have any success. I think they have the ability to be a playoff team. They still got a lot of talent, as I said, on the back end and in goal. But these young players are going to have to step up if they're going to take that next step in the playoffs.
Mike, when does hockey season officially begin for you? Has it already begun, or do you have to wait for training camps for it to really get going?
No, we've been going, Mark. We've been going at it. I was actually in Plymouth, Michigan a couple of weeks ago at the World Junior Summer Showcase, which was really interesting, gearing up for the World Junior Championship, obviously, in Buffalo this year. So I saw a lot of great young talent there, including Rasmus Dahlin, who's probably going to go number one, number two in the 2018 NHL draft. But this draft is looking real exciting, Mark. I think Dahlin could be a generational guy. I don't like to throw that word around loosely, but, you know, you think of Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid, Patrick Laine, Jack Eichel, these guys that are really kind of leading the surge right now. And Rasmus Dahlin could be one of those defensemen that really steps up this year. It's going to be a real nice draft. But overall, the 31-31 is coming out, this month, which was very good. And then training camps start up in September, so we'll be right back at it again.
And that's when we'll have you back on the show, Mike. Thanks for this. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great one.
You too. Anytime. That's Mike Morial from NHL.com.